We all need mercy, don't we? There's not one of us that is without fault. There's not one of us that has not sinned. The only one who never sinned is our Savior. And that's what makes him different and able to save us to the uttermost, because he never sinned. I think the kids have already left us. They knew it was time for their junior worship, so they've headed that direction. This morning we're going to wrap up our series through the book of Ephesians. So we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20 this morning. And the title is Prepare for Battle. Prepare for Battle. Paul, as you understand, Apostle Paul wrote this letter to the Ephesian Christians. And in reality, one of the main themes that you find throughout this book is the unity that we have with our Heavenly Father, the unity that we have with Christ, the unity that we have with one another as the body of Christ. And just last week, we kind of wrapped up the end of chapter 5, beginning of chapter 6. We had looked at things like the relationship between husband and wife a few weeks ago, and then last week, just looking at child-parent relationships and how children are to be obedient to their parents in the Lord, and parents are not to frustrate the children. They're to raise them up in God's nurture and admonition and instruction in a way that helps them to grow in Christ and come to maturity in him. And then we wrap that section up looking at also slaves and their masters, and a little bit of a comparison between being employers and employees in this day and age. And today we're going to move ahead then and look at this picture of the Christian preparing for battle. Preparing for the spiritual battle that we are a part of. Would you read together with me, along with me, as I read here from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayer and request. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Would you go to the Lord with me in prayer at this time? Father in heaven, we praise you and we thank you for your loving kindness toward us. Father, that you are a God who loved us so much that you sent Jesus here to the earth to rescue us from ourselves, to pay the price for our sins. Father, thank you for bringing us back into fellowship with you through him and his blood shed on the cross. Father, we also want to thank you for your written word that reveals you to us. Help us, Father, to understand that we are in a spiritual battle. Help us, Father, to see that which happens around us is not only in the physical realm, but also in the spiritual realm. Help us, Father, to trust in you. Help us to abide in your Holy Spirit. And help us to walk in your path, in your ways, and bring glory and honor to your name. For these things we pray in Jesus our Lord. Amen. We are to prepare for a battle. You know, I would say Paul's readers at that time are very much the same as most people are today, busy with life, going on with providing for their families, caring for their loved ones, and yet at the same time, in Christ, they began to realize we are in a spiritual battle. Did you notice what Paul had to say there in those early verses in around verse 12 or thereabouts? Talking about the struggle. He says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against authorities, and against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenlies. Now, I don't know if any of you have ever read some of the books. Now I'm going to forget his name. I always do this. I remember it, and then it's gone. The Frank Peretti series of books. If any of you have read any of those, where it's about the spiritual battle that's going on, and the guardian angels that are watching over his saints, and yet the evil demons and their minions that are all coming against them and trying to overcome the good and overpower all good that is happening in the world. I've read several of those books, and it really catches your attention and makes you be aware that we are in a physical struggle and we are in a spiritual struggle as well. That there's a lot happening in the spiritual realms that many times we may be ignorant of, we may not be aware of, we may not be seeing it happen. But the Apostle Paul says that we are actually in a wrestling match. This is the term that he used here. I don't know if any of you did any wrestling in high school, any of you fellas. I don't know about the girls, if they wrestled at all. I probably think not. But I remembered wrestling in high school, and one of the things that you learn about wrestling is that your opponent is coming after you, and you're trying to not only defend yourself, but also to take advantage of a weakness that you see in your opponent. And so the moving around, you know, the gesturing, the feinting of a move to see if he'll bite on that, to where he opens himself up for you to nail him and get a good hold on him. That's the same kind of terminology that the Apostle Paul uses here to talk about we're in a wrestling match, in a spiritual wrestling match. And that we need to be aware that our enemy is out there and he's trying to take us down. And that we need to prepare ourselves against all that he is doing. You know, our enemy is not only seeking to harm us physically, and we live in the results of a world of sin, don't we? Our bodies get older, you know, they become more frail. We begin to experience more difficulties with pains and also illness. You know, any kind of illness is a result of sin, folks, and I don't mean directly your personal sin, but it is a result of sin in the world. There would be no illness if we were living in the perfect world. There would be no sickness. There would be no death. But we live in the fallen world where sin is present. And because of that, we face not only, you know, we face physical struggles because of sin in the world, but we're also involved in a spiritual battle. Many times we think that it's impossible for us to come out on top, but I want to remind you of a passage of Scripture from 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4 that tells us there, you have overcome them because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. What's it referring to? The Holy Spirit of God, who has come to dwell in each one of his saints, is greater in us than he that is in the world, who is Satan. We can come out victorious. And it's not in our power, it's in the power of God at work in us through his Holy Spirit. Now, after speaking of this struggle, this wrestling match, the Apostle Paul then makes a transition to talk about this spiritual warfare in which every Christian is engaged, and that each and every one of us needs our armor. Now, I know you folks know this passage of Scripture, and we've seen it before, and we've studied it before, and I'm sure you've heard messages on it before, but let's remind ourselves of the kind of armor that we need. What's the first piece of armor that we need? It tells us we need a belt of truth. The belt of truth. The Christian today, as even back then, needs to arm himself with truth. A Christian is to be the good guy. He's to be, like the old Westerns, the guy in the white hat. He's to be the hero. He's to do what is good and right. He's not to be a liar. He's not to be a deceiver. He's to be truthful. Did you know that the Scriptures say that God cannot lie? The Scriptures tell us God cannot lie. And then the Scriptures also make it clear to us that God hates lies. If you'll look through both the Old Testament and New Testament, you'll find passage after passage. And I'm reading through the Psalms, like I've told you before in my devotional reading. Every day I'm in another Psalm, and it reminded me time and time again, God hates untruth. God hates deception. God hates lies. And God cannot lie, and he doesn't want any of that happening in us. I begin to think of myself about what we call the little white lies, you know, the innocent little white lies, trying to protect somebody's feelings so that they don't feel hurt by hearing the full truth, and so we tell the little white lies, or sometimes we call them the half-truths. Remember, folks, if it's a half-truth, what is the other half? It's a lie, you know, it's a deception. And yet we as Christians are told to put on the belt of truth to protect us, the belt of truth. Do you remember what Jesus himself said to the Jewish leaders in John chapter 8 about Satan himself? In John chapter 8 and verse 44, he says, Jesus himself speaking says, "You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies." I don't know about you. I don't want Satan to be called my father. We need to steer away from all untruth, all deception, all lies, and guard ourselves with a belt of truth. Secondly, we need to put on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, you can think of the pictures and movies or whatever you've seen of the men in their different armor, can't you? And they put on that breastplate, that protects the heart and the lungs and the vital organs of the body so that any striking of a sword or an arrow is not going to get into the vital organs. And what are we to be protected with? The breastplate of righteousness. Have you thought about that? A Christian needs that righteousness in his life that will help protect him against the evil one. Righteousness is very important in God's total plan of protection. The word righteousness actually occurs 94 times alone just in the New Testament. Just in the New Testament. And we find quite a few things out about the word righteousness. It's actually translated, the one word is translated multiple ways. Sometimes it's translated righteousness. Sometimes it's translated righteous or just. Sometimes it's actually translated innocent. So there's synonym or a connotation there in which righteousness has to do with being innocent or pronounced innocent. It also has to do with doing the right things and being just before God. I like the phrase that I've heard several years ago talking about being innocent or proclaimed innocent. It's just as if I never sinned. I like that. It's what God does for us. He takes away the sin through the blood of Christ, and then he sees us just as if we never sinned. We're holy and pure and innocent in his sight. And this breastplate of righteousness is something that we need. Protection against the evil one, but also in giving us what we need in our lives. Did you know that 1 John chapter 3 and verse 7 actually talks about that righteousness, and it's something that we can actually do? It's not just being righteous, it's something that you can do. 1 John chapter 3 in verse 7 says, "Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. He who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous." So by doing the right things, we can be pronounced righteous. And as followers of Christ, we always want to be doing what is right in God's eyes. We are protecting ourselves with the breastplate of righteousness. And just a little bit earlier, just ahead of 1 John, just a page earlier in your Bible, in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 13, we're told this about righteousness. "But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth." That's a good thing, isn't it? And the last phrase is, "the home of righteousness." That's where we're going, folks. We're going to the home of righteousness. We need that breastplate of righteousness to protect us. Okay, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness. What else do we need? We need our feet protected. Our feet prepared with the readiness of the gospel of peace, the NIV says. A Christian soldier needs to be prepared with the good news of the gospel. Not only that you understand it for yourself, but you need to be prepared with it so that you can take that good news of Jesus and of his peace to others. I love there from 1 Peter chapter 3, one of my favorite verses, 1 Peter 3 and verse 15, where it says, "But in your hearts set apart Christ as Lord, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect." We are to be prepared always to give an answer for the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And that is sharing with others what it means to have found the forgiveness of our sins through the blood of Jesus, and that they too can find that for themselves. And a Christian's feet then are protected with this preparation of the gospel of peace. And over in Romans, do you remember the Apostle Paul actually quotes from the Old Testament, and he says that our feet, because of our being followers of Christ, that our feet are actually something beautiful. Now, when I take off my shoes, my feet don't look too pretty anymore. The more years you get on them, you know, the more the toes are this way or that way or this way, and you know, big heavy calluses, that kind of thing. They don't look so pretty anymore. But notice what it says in the scripture in Romans chapter 10, verses 14 and 15. "How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written," and here's the quote from the Old Testament, "how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." You've got pretty feet, folks, if you're sharing the good news of Jesus with others. Doesn't matter what they look like physically. Spiritually, you've got beautiful feet. because you're sharing the best news that a person will ever hear. And that is the news that their sins can be forgiven through the blood of Jesus, just like they have been done for you. Okay, our feet prepared with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Then we need the shield of faith. The shield of faith. Now, I've watched lots of those movies on television, you know, Spartacus and others, where here they are with their shields, or even Braveheart and some of those, you know, everybody's got a shield and a sword in the other hand. I'm left-handed, so I'm, you know, this way, but, you know. But the idea is they have a shield. And here it's called the shield of faith. Every Christian needs his shield of faith. Did you know in the time of Jesus there were two shields in Israel? One was a small round shield. It gave you some protection, but it was more for, you know, a little bit of protection, but to be able to move easily and to really be on the offense. The shield that's spoken of here is not that shield. This one is the great big four-cornered shield. This is the one you can get behind when the arrows are coming at you and you're not going to get hit. The shield of faith. This shield of faith is large. It's the shield that will protect you from every one of those flaming arrows that Satan is trying to hurl at you. Satan's flaming arrows can be put out, completely put out, with your shield of faith. Now, it's important, folks, that you understand we're not just talking about a shield as being something that, okay, they dart off of you. No, this is shield because of what? Because of the faith that you have in your heart, that the faith that you have in your mind, that you know that the Word of God is true and that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, your sins are forgiven, and because of that, no matter what happens, you're going to win. You're going to be on the winning team. You're going to be in God's presence forever. And so your shield is that of faith, your trust in God. Okay, we've talked about several things. We only have a couple more. We need now the helmet of what? Salvation. We need our helmet of salvation. What's a helmet for, anyhow? You put on a helmet, I mean, football helmet, that gives you some protection. But we're talking about in war, in battle, right? A helmet, and it's usually made out of metal. Why? So that glancing blows or things that would strike you can't do you in by you know, cutting open your head or cracking your skull. It's protection for your head. And why is the head important? It's this thing up here that controls all the rest of it, isn't it, huh? The head is the thinker that puts into action all of the body. We need to protect ourselves, folks, with the helmet of salvation. Every Christian needs to protect his thinker from Satan's attacks. Our thinking can get really messed up when we're not following Jesus. Just look around you in the world. Just look at the news. See the things that are happening, the things that people are doing, and they can say they're right in what they're doing. They're sure of it. But they're so far off base. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not even rational, some of the things that they come up with. But when you see things in their proper perspective, with our thinker protected from the attacks of Satan, we are able to understand with the helmet of salvation, we are protected against the evil one's onslaught. Salvation in Jesus Christ is the key to getting your head on straight. I believe that with all my heart, folks. Young person, middle-aged adult, older adult, if you don't have Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you cannot have your head on straight. You cannot be thinking aright because you're being deceived by the input of the evil one. Now, can a Christian be deceived? Sure. We can be deceived. when we are not protecting ourselves, when we're not in the Word of God, when we're not feeding on our relationship with Jesus Christ, when we're not walking in Him, yeah, we can be deceived again. And we've seen lots of Christians fall, haven't we? And it happens. But we want to remember that the helmet of salvation is there to protect our thinking. We need that. Salvation in Jesus Christ is the key to getting your head on straight and keeping it straight. Now there's one other passage, one other thing here that we need. Now we come to the really only offensive weapon in all of our armor. Now we are told we need to take up the sword of the Spirit. It's interesting that it's called that, isn't it? The sword of the Spirit. It's not the sword of Tom Chamberlain, you know. It's not the sword of any one of you. It's the sword of God's Holy Spirit. Because by the power of God living in each and every one of us, God can overcome the evil that is attacking us. The sword of the Spirit. I hope each and every one of you is taking in the Word of God. You know, I used to say, I hope everybody brought their sword, and we used to talk about it, sword drill. You know, everybody take up your Bible, let's have a sword drill. But nowadays, you can carry your sword not only this way, you can carry it in here, right? You know, I do my daily Bible reading every morning, first thing in the morning, before I even crawl out of bed in the morning. I'm laying there, pull out my phone from underneath my pillow, hit the button, on comes the Bible app, and right there, my bookmarks are there. I'm in my three different passages, 15, 20 minutes of reading, and I don't go back to sleep. No. This is a time where I'm spending time with the Lord and listening to Him speak to me. The sword of the Spirit. And when it's there and I'm reading it, whether I'm reading it out of the physical book or whether I'm reading it out of an electronic page, it is affecting the way I think. And it's entering into my heart. And it is making a difference in my life. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God itself getting into us, folks. Changing us into the people that we need to be. Remember that God's living message is the most powerful weapon in the world. There's a little passage over here in Hebrews chapter 4. Tells us how the Word of God is active. And I'm sure you, with me just saying that much, you'll remember that passage, many of you will. Hebrews chapter 4, if I can get the pages to turn. Hebrews chapter 4 and verses 12 and 13 tell us this. For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. God sees it all, and the Word of God is to help us understand what God sees in our lives. It is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword, penetrating even to the dividing of soul and spirit. Let the Word of God speak into your life. Let God get a hold of you by His Word. And He's revealed Himself there. That's why we revere the Word of God so much. It's how we can know Him and who He is and what He desires of each and every one of us. And so, folks, we need to be prepared for whatever comes our way. 2 Timothy is a passage that many of us are familiar with. It's just a couple of pages further than where we are in Ephesians. 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us there all Scripture is God-breathed. God breathed it all. And it is useful for what? Teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. God's word is there for our benefit. And it will benefit us if we allow God to speak into our lives. Now, we're going to close out with one other thing. Many times I've heard this message preached or heard it taught, and all the Christian armor is about all these things right up through, including the sword of the Spirit. But there's one other thing there. Did you notice what it says there near the end of where we were reading, after the sword of the Spirit? It says, and pray, verse 18, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayer and request. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Prayer is also a part of our armor. We have the view of the physical armor to protect us and all of that, and the sword of the Spirit in which we can actually work. But the prayers of God's saints, God utilizes to change the world, to change everything. We are to be Christians and complete our arsenal with prayer. Brother Dean Troon is coming this next weekend. We're set up for a special seminar, going deeper with God. And I'm sure he's going to help us understand the importance of prayer, deep prayer in our lives. Notice what it said here. We are to be praying on all occasions. There's not a time when prayer is inappropriate. Pray on all occasions. It says we are to have all kinds of prayer. There's prayer of intercession. There's a prayer of thanksgiving. There's a prayer asking forgiveness. I mean, we are to make all kinds of prayers to our God. And then we are to pray for all of God's people. Are you praying for one another? I know we've been praying that God would help us to find the right minister for our congregation here. And that's important. But are you praying for one another as well? Are you lifting each other up so that we are protected? Excuse me. So that we are protected by the prayers of one another against the attacks of the evil one? Remember what the apostles' primary task was? You remember when there were the widows that needed attention back in the early part of the book of Acts? And they were saying, we need somebody to take care of these widows that are not being attended to. And the apostles said, you choose out 7 men from among you, and we'll appoint them to this task. Why did they do that? Because the apostles' primary task was dedicated to prayer and the ministry of the word. Those two things. Now, it's important to preach the gospel, yes. But they also knew the importance of prayer. They were dedicated to prayer. So we need to remember they were dedicated to the ministry of the word and to prayer. And then Paul closes by saying, pray for me also. Pray for me that I might have the words to speak at the right time and that I might do it fearlessly. He was the ambassador in chains. He was going to be before Caesar. And yes, that could have been, you know, Caesar says, okay, you live, or no, you don't. And yet Paul was saying, help me to be fearless in sharing the message of Christ with others. The soldier for Christ is totally protected when we have on our belt of truth, our breastplate of righteousness, our feet are prepared with the gospel of peace, and we have that giant shield to protect us from all of the fiery darts of the evil one. We put on our helmet of salvation, and we're ready for battle with the sword of the Spirit and with prayer. Would you pray with me, please? Father in heaven, help us to always be prepared. Help us to realize the spiritual battles that are going on in our midst, in our own minds and hearts, in our families, in our extended families. Father, help us to see those spiritual battles that are being waged. And Father, help us to be people committed to prayer. Help us to trust in you. Help us to put on all of our spiritual armor to protect ourselves, but also, Father, to be able to serve you and to serve you well. Father, use your word as a sword in our lives, as in the lives of others. And we will give you glory and honor and praise. In Jesus we pray. Amen. It's always important for us to offer a time of decision, a time of invitation. Because if you leave this place without Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're in danger, folks. You're in danger of an eternal separation from God. And I just praise God that almost all of us that I know here have already made that decision for Jesus. There may be a few here that still need to make that decision. We want to offer you that opportunity. Don't put it off. Don't postpone it. It's time to, as they say, be all in for Jesus. And that means giving your all to him, because he gave his all for you. If you need to make that decision this morning, why don't you come and make us aware of that as we stand and sing hymn number 368, All for Jesus.